Look at verse number 10 where the Bible read, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies." And a couple weeks ago, I had preached a sermon entitled Skills to Pay the Bills. And it's really focused from a perspective of the husband, one who's supposed to provide and to take care of the home and to pay for all the bills. And I believe that it's the husband's responsibility, when you study the Bible, to pay 100% of the bills. But we see here in Proverbs chapter 31, an interesting woman here known as the virtuous woman. And the title of the sermon this morning is Skills to Skip the Bills. Skills to skip the bills. You know, it's the husband's job to pay every single bill, but wouldn't it be nice if your wife isn't racking up some extra bills? You know, there's less bills that you actually have to end up paying. And we're going to look at 7 points this morning of how a godly woman, a virtuous woman, can help to skip some of those bills, okay? Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." What is spoil in the Bible? Many times it's in reference to after war, people are taking the goods from their enemies, and it's known the spoils of war. So it's like extra income. It's like a bonus. It's not your just average, you know, regular hourly paycheck. It's something that is extra. It's a bonus. It's something that's going above and beyond. And the Bible's saying here that this husband of this virtuous woman, he doesn't even need any spoil because he can just safely trust in his wife. What does that look like? Well, keep your finger here because we're going to constantly coming back, but let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And when we study Proverbs 31, it is my opinion that this woman is an ideal more than a reality. It's essentially when we tell men that they're supposed to be like Christ, you know, no man is like Christ, okay, in the sense that in perfection, none of us are perfect, none of us are always self-sacrificing as much as the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just our example. And whenever you study Proverbs 31, I believe this is the example for women, but you know what, especially no woman starts there. Because, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman already has children. She's already doing all these different things. It's basically what women should strive for and look towards and see this, you know, role model. And even women themselves, they can still look to Christ as their example. Christ is the example for all people, husband, wife, little boy, little girl, all of us, Christ is our example. But Proverbs 31 is dedicated to women and helping them understand what a godly woman is like. But if we look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses," and notice this, "and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." There's something that we have to accept in its reality. There's a lot of bad people in this world, and they want to take advantage of you. I mean, this list, you know, there's a time and a place to go in more detail about this list. We'll go into it tonight. But if you look at this list, there's all kinds of evil people out there, all kinds of wicked people. And in fact, when you read 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he says this isn't just some people. This is like what the world is going to be as a whole. When we get closer to the time of Christ, people are going to only love themselves. They don't care about other people. They're ready to rip you off. They take all your money, and they'll just move on, and it doesn't even bother them. They have no heart inside of them. They have a hard heart. They despise other people. And we see here that he's taking captive silly women. What is a silly woman? A silly woman would be likened unto someone who is foolish or ignorant or stupid or does not take things seriously. And there's a lot of women out there today that are easily taken advantage of because they're gullible, because they're ignorant, because they don't know any better. And in fact, you know, throughout time, whenever women would be at home primarily in the culture, there'd be these traveling salesmen that'd go out during the day and they would try to trick housewives into buying their merchandise, try to get them to sign up for all kinds of things. Why? Because when the husband wasn't there, she was more easily led astray. So if my wife is constantly buying all these frivolous things or being duped and tricked, I'm going to have to get some extra income just to pay that extra bill that I didn't need. And look, the reality is men can be just as susceptible. We can all get duped. It's not like men can't get duped. I've been duped plenty of times, okay? I've had bad things happen to me. But, you know, I don't look at this world oftentimes and just think everybody's great, everybody's kind. But I think that women in general, they just, because they have a little bit more trusting heart, they just think everybody's good. They think everybody's kind. Why would this guy lie to me? Why would this guy rip me off? Why would this guy be a conniving devil? And the reason is because women are hardwired to be trusting. God said that there would be a helpmeet, so naturally they want to follow. Naturally, they want to believe you. Naturally, they want to trust. But we have to learn from the Bible, there's a lot of bad people out there, and you can't just trust someone that comes up and just tells you all manner of things. And in fact, you often need to ask your husband, hey, what do you think about this situation? What do you think about this $50,000 check they sent me in the mail? It's a scam. You don't even know where it came from. Yeah, but it just sounds cool. Then I can get some new shoes. You know, I just want to believe it's true. Go to 1 Timothy 2. Just flip back a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You say, oh, you're against women. You think that women are, you know, different than men. Yeah, I do. The Bible tells me this. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. The Bible tells us that in the Garden of Eden, one person sinned and the other person sinned by deceit. They were deceived. Adam knew what he was doing when he sinned. Adam knew that it was wrong. The woman, she didn't know that what she was doing was wrong. She got deceived. She was tricked by the serpent. The serpent lied unto her, and she just believed the serpent, and then she just takes the fruit. Oh, I didn't really hear God command me that, and the serpent's telling me something different. Well, you know, let's just go with the fruit. Adam wasn't deceived, though. Adam heard God tell him, hey, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And you know what? Adam just decided to do it anyways. Adam decided to sin. And so there's a difference between men and there's a difference between women. I don't know what Adam was thinking when he justified that sin. Maybe he thought, well, we could probably manage the situation, or I can take care of it, or whatever. Maybe pride, arrogance. I don't know exactly what Adam's thought process was, but he did know it was wrong. He wasn't deceived. And we see the woman was deceived. That's why the Bible teaches that the woman is supposed to be in silence, specifically because a man has an ability to understand what's right and wrong more than a woman. Just face the fact of the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, that's why if you let your wife pick the church, she might pick a church with a false prophet that's going to tickle her ear, that's going to tell her what she wants to hear, that's going to tell her, no, you get to make the decisions in the marriage too. That just sounds right. They're like, oh yeah, let's go to that church. But you know, the man says that's not what the Bible says. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam's the one that's supposed to be in charge. Adam was not the one that was deceived. And it's man's job and man's responsibility to lead his home. So why are you teaching this, Pastor Shelley? Well, I just want women to understand that you can be tricked, okay? It's just easy. You're more easily taken advantage of. And look, men can be taken advantage of. I could give you stories where I've been taken advantage of plenty of times. But the Bible emphasizes the fact that you can be. So that's why it's important for you to be careful and to ask your husband and to trust in your husband. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And it said that it took, you know, captive the silly women laden with sins. So that also tells me there's a distinction between certain women. There's some women that are just stupid on purpose. There's some women, they don't care to have any knowledge. In fact, they act dumb on purpose. There's these women, they're like valley girls. So, oh man, you're so smart. Will you just tell me all about it? I don't know anything. Look, this guy, the snake, he's like, I'm going to take advantage of this person. You know, he likes that girl. You know, godly women don't go around acting how stupid they are. You know, I don't think being stupid is a virtue or being ignorant. You know, people say, oh, you don't want your wife to go to college and get a job. Yeah, I don't want her to be stupid. I want her to actually have some wisdom, have some education from God's word. Actually be very knowledgeable. And you know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. Not your college de-education. Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober. So the older women are supposed to teach the younger women to, notice this, be sober. What is sober? Sober could be interpreted as being serious. Take your life serious. Take information serious. Take reading the Bible serious. Take everything you have seriously in your life, and then you're going to be less likely to be taken advantage of. And whenever you're when you're not taken advantage of, you know what? There's a lot of bills that you can skip. What's the title of the sermon? Skills to Skip the Bills. Now, let me give you a story, okay? I looked it up online. There's a woman, she lived in South Korea recently, and her husband was allowing her to go to France, Paris, France, to take a 7-month pastry course. So she's really excited. She signed up. She's paid all this money to go to this pastry course. Well, she needs somewhere to live, doesn't she? So she decides to use Airbnb. Who's used Airbnb or knows what I'm talking about? It's a pretty cool service. I like Airbnb. But just because you're using the service doesn't mean that scammers don't exist. So what does she do? She looks up. She finds this really nice apartment in Paris, France. And for to stay there for 7 months, it's $51,600. That's the price tag for this Paris, you know, flat or whatever. Well, she goes on, and it's a legit listing on Airbnb. But the seller or the landowner or whatever, the apartment owner, he sends an email message or message through the system, says, hey, I need you to sign some email agreement, okay? Which doesn't sound like that unreasonable. He says, I just have some extra paperwork I'd like for you to sign. So he sends an email to her. She looks at the email. It's just some like paperwork. She kind of fills it out, just information about herself. And then she submits it back to the guy. You know, it didn't seem that unreasonable, that confusing. Well, then the same person sends back a second email and says, hey, thanks for filling out. Everything looks good. It's approved. Click here to pay. And she clicks the link from the email. And guess what? It goes to a site that looks exactly like Airbnb. Exactly. I mean, you can't tell unless you know what you're looking at. And guess what? She pays, all gone. $51,600 gone like that. And look, this is not a one-time story. This happens every single day. You say, hey, are they going to get that money back? Probably not. You know, most thieves, most robbers, they're constantly getting away with murder, essentially. I mean, they'll take people for all kinds of theft, all kinds of money, and the cops don't even really care. The cops aren't even catching murderers. They're not even catching rapists. You know, when it comes to a burglary case, they're like, whatever, you know. They're not going out and diligently seeking and diligently inquiring and trying to capture all these people. And there's so much theft and fraud going on constantly that they can't even keep up anyways. I mean, most of these guys, they're just constantly getting away with it. Now, obviously, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This guy's going to get what's coming to him. It just might not be through the local law enforcement. You know, and there's all kinds of things at play here. International things, because, I mean, this guy was in Paris or whatever. Who knows where he actually lives? But I'm just saying, the listing was in Paris. This person's in South Korea. But the reality is, there's people that want to take your money. They want to lie to you. They want to deceive you. And I honestly can't even blame this woman that much, because this could happen to anybody. But the reality is, you have to be sober. You have to be watching out. You have to realize that there's perilous times today. Everybody wants to take advantage of you. And if you're a wise woman, your husband's not going to have to need of spoil for that $51,000 bill. That one hurt. And look, I don't want to have to pay that. But let's go back to Proverbs chapter 31. It's not only getting tricked, though. You know, sometimes women, they rack up the bills just frivolous spending. You know, just buying things that they don't need. Some women think they need a purse for every outfit. And not only every outfit, like a $300 purse for every single outfit. Sometimes women, they have a shrine of purses in their closet that they're the only one that even sees it. They don't even use them. You know, now I'm going to have to get a lot of extra spoil just to pay for all that junk. So you see, the husband of this virtuous woman, he's not afraid of that. He's not afraid of his wife just spending money and just doing frivolous things and not being sober and not being practical. He knows that this woman is diligent. She's virtuous. She's gonna take care of the things that are entrusted unto her. She's going to be a good steward of the money and the influence that she has. Because obviously, as a married man, I need my wife to have the ability to buy all kinds of stuff. Buy our groceries and buy clothing and buy all kinds of goods. And she has the same credit card with the same limits and all kinds. I mean, she has the ability to make the same decisions I do. So I have to be able to trust her in order to make those kind of decisions and to be able to make wise purchasing decisions and to be doing that which is diligent and sober and making sure that she's not being taken advantage of. Look, if you're buying something from China, if you're buying something from France, you better beware. There's a lot of scammers. There's a lot of wicked people out there. And you can't just, let's just put my credit card information on anywhere online. That's how you get taken advantage of quick. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 14. Proverbs 31, verse 14. The Bible says, "She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar." Look at verse 16. "She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard." So not only is it important for a woman to not have need of spoil, it's important for her to look for the deals, to get be a good purchaser, be one that's going to make wise purchasing decisions. This is a skill to help skip a lot of bills. Whenever you can go out and you can make good purchases, you can buy things in bulk, you can find good quality products. You're not having to throw stuff away. You're not buying junk. You're not buying things that are bad. They're going to be durable. They're good prices. This is a very important skill. In fact, some people, they have a job. It's like a personal shopper. They go out and they buy goods. They know where to find the deals. They know where to get good quality, material. So it's something that actually takes a lot of skill, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of knowledge. Go backwards to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. There's all kinds of ways to do couponing, discounts, special programs, local farmers market. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that a wise woman, that a virtuous woman can save money. Whenever you spend money, your money's gone. So it's important to say, hey, is this a good purchase? Is this a good value? Looking at prices, determining what the prices of goods are. You'd be really good on Price is Right. The virtuous woman, she knows what's a good deal. She knows what the average price is of these goods. She's going to be able to discern if this is a good buy, if she's being taken advantage of, if this is a quality product. There's a lot of information that has to go into purchasing. And in fact, when you get the husband involved, usually purchasing just gets out of control because I don't know what's going on. I don't know the best places to go and the best places to shop and all the best prices. Because I'm not always concerning myself with that type of information. It'd be great if my wife, she knows. She knows all the best places. She knows where the coupons are. She knows how to get in there and get all the discounts and the bonus programs and whatever. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 3. There's another way that she can really be advantaged. Look at verse number 3. It says, "She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city." So in chapter number 9, wisdom is personified as a woman, and it's giving attributes of a wise woman and just wisdom in and of itself, but it says that wisdom itself is also going to utilize other people to her benefit. One of the benefits of having a large family is you can utilize those children to do things for you. You can put them to work. And you know what? Time is money today. Time is money, and there's a lot of stuff that has to get done. And you know what? A wise woman, she's going to utilize all the resources at her fingertips. In fact, even when it comes to shopping, you can have other services go purchase all your material and bring it back for you cheaper than going out yourself. And how would it be cheaper, Pastor Shelley? Well, first of all, gas, time, effort, that actually has a monetary value to it. Additionally, I'm very guilty of this. Every time I go to the store, I buy way more than what I actually need. So, you know, whenever you actually just go online, you just put all the things that you need in, and then they bring it back, you know what doesn't happen? The personal shopper doesn't come back with all these extra goods. All these things that you didn't need. It can actually help you stay within a budget. Or, you know, there's different programs. I know me and my wife one time, we did a program where we were just using cash only. And she just had a certain amount of money that she could spend. And in that point of our life, we were being very diligent with our money. We were being very economical. And if you don't have a budget, here's the reality, you will not limit your spending. Whenever you actually have a budget, it'll alter the course of action of what goods you're going to purchase. Whenever you have no budget, there's no cap. You're just like, well, just buy it. But sometimes when there's a cap, whenever there's a budget in place, you say, you know what? I'm not going to buy that right now. I'm not going to get this good. Or here's a better substitute. Or here's something a little bit cheaper. And it'll actually save you money over the course of time because you're looking for the deals. You have a budget. You're constraining yourself. You say, you know what? I don't want my husband to have the need to spoil. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go a little bit farther to get this product at a cheaper discounted rate so that we don't have the need to spoil. I'm going afar. I'm finding the deals. I'm bringing it in. And I'll even send my maid in to get it if I have to. Utilizing every resource that you need. Say, oh, I want to be in middle management. Well, being a mother, you're going to be able to manage a lot of goods. Manage a lot of children, manage all kinds of different things. You know, it takes every skill imaginable to be a godly, virtuous woman. I mean, these people, there's not enough skill to go around. I mean, there's so many jobs, there's so many tasks, it's so difficult. We see even in Proverbs 31 that this woman, she considers a field. Now, I like that wording because we see the woman, she doesn't just buy stuff. Nope, she considers it first. She thinks about the price. She thinks about the location. She thinks about the fruit. She's looking at it and saying, is this a good buy? Is this something that I should get? Is this something that's worth my value, my time? And then she buys it. Once she considers the field, she's looking at it. If you just buy stuff without even thinking about it, that's not going to go well. You're going to make bad purchasing decisions. And I hate buyer's remorse. I hate buying a product and you think about it and you're like, I should have never bought that. That was worthless. You know, some purchases I've made in my life, it's invaluable. I'm thinking, I'm so glad I'd make that purchase 1,000 times over again. But then there's other purchases you make and you think, I wish I'd never bought that. That was just something that was foolish, that was silly. Go, if you would, back to Proverbs chapter 31. Let's look at another verse here. Proverbs 31. So we see the virtuous woman, she's going to be good at shopping. And when she's good at shopping, you know what you're going to do? Skip some of those bills. You're going to skip some of the bills at all these restaurants and all these other places that you didn't need to go, that you didn't need to buy this stuff, just purchases that you didn't want, frivolous material, things that you're going to throw away anyways, things that didn't need to be replaced, goods that go bad. You know, you can also buy a lot of food and throw it away constantly. Buying perishable items that you know you're not going to be able to consume in time, or that you're not utilizing, or that's just going bad, you're paying attention, you're letting things rot, you're not being diligent in the stuff that you already have. Verse 15, the Bible says, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. So another aspect of this, when it comes to purchasing, because a lot of the purchasing that comes from a housewife would be food, right? But additionally, being able to cook that food, being able to turn those ingredients into something I can eat. You know, I love eating, you know, all kinds of baked goods. My wife makes great cookies. She makes great rolls. You know, if you just take a bunch of flour and egg and water and mix it together, it's not going to taste great. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of diligence. If you ask me to make cookies and biscuits, it's kind of like a 50-50 if it's even going to be something you want to eat. You know, I'm not the best, you know, baker. And in fact, anytime I make cookies, it's very different. Some cookies I make taste great. Some taste like, what is this? It's like eating flour. It's baked flour. But my wife, she's very consistent. Every time she makes like a roll or she makes some kind of cookie, I mean, it tastes really good. And you know what? Cooking is a great skill. And eating out today is one of the most expensive habits that we have in America. I would love to skip a lot of those bills. It seems like every time I go to a restaurant, they hike the price up. I mean, I'm just like, I look at meals that I feel like I've had before, and I'm thinking, this seems like double. This seems triple. what's going on? I mean, they just keep hiking up. The price gets more and more and more. And if you eat out every single meal, I mean, you're going to be just shoving out all kinds of money. And the reality is, after you eat that meal, you don't really enjoy it much more afterwards. It's gone. I don't remember very many meals I've had that I've eaten out. So it's kind of just throwing money away in a sense. I mean, it's just money that you didn't have to spend. And a woman that's a good cook, she's going to help you skip a lot of bills and some big, hefty bills. And the bigger your family gets, I mean, that bill just keeps multiplying. I mean, it gets egregious. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18. You know, Jael, the wife of Heber, she serves butter in a lordly dish. She was a good cook. She was one that knew how to make a good meal. We see a lot of women in the Bible, they're good at making a meal. They're good at cooking, and it's a tangible skill. It says it's an invaluable skill. Genesis chapter 18, verse 6, the Bible reads, "And Abraham hasted into the tent of Sarah and said, 'Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth.'" So when Abraham's in a pinch and he has some guests show up, he says, "Hey, just make some cakes." He doesn't say, "Hey, go down to Kroger and buy some stuff. You know, let's put on a delivery order." No, he says, "Hey, why don't you start kneading? Why don't you start getting some stuff put together? Why don't you make us some cakes?" We see that Sarah, the virtuous woman, on a dime, she can just make some food. She can make a great meal. She's personified as a great woman in the book of 1 Peter as well. Go, if you went to Proverbs chapter 9. Go back to Proverbs chapter 9. So we'll be looking at a few different places that are pretty much the same. Proverbs chapter number 9. We see wisdom personified. Look at verse 1. "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith them, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding." So we see here that this woman that's wise, she's doing all kinds of things for meal prep. I mean, she's furnished her table. She's mingled her wine. What does that mean? She's mixed it. I mean, and what do you mean mixed wine? Well, in a lot of cases, especially if you read older literature outside the Bible even, they'll tell you that the way they preserved wine many times is they would take the fruit, they would boil it down in some kind of sap or jelly, and then they would preserve that, whether in the earth, in some kind of a cellar or cooler or whatever. And then later, they would take it out and mix it with water, and it would be just like you have, you know, juice concentrate. I mean, the same thing we have today. There's no new thing under the sun. It might have been a different way. They didn't have modern freezers the same exact way that we had, but they would boil it into kind of a sap, and then they would take that substance, they'd mix it with water, and then they have a fruit juice. They have some kind of a wine drink that they can drink, and they'll mix other various types of fruits together to make some kind of a juice cocktail. So they had the same thing. Now, a lot of times it was more for the wealthy or the more privileged that would have the ability to have this. But we see this wise woman, she's doing all kinds of things. She's pulling out all the stops. She's making nice beverages. She's making the iced tea. She's making the lemonade. She's bringing out all the good drinks. I don't like Arnold Palmer because, you know, I don't like to mix the defiled with the undefiled. You know, I don't like dirt in my water, so tea and me don't mix, all right? But a lot of people, I mean, it's kind of a sin in Texas, I know, all right. Well, I'll confess my fault. I don't like ranch dressing. I don't like sweet tea. You know, that's about it, all right? I want to stay in the pulpit for a little bit longer, right? But we see that this wise woman, she feeds her family physically. She's taking care of those needs. And, you know, cooking today is such an incredible skill. I looked out different reports. One report says that eating out on average is $13 a meal. Per person, $13 a meal. But at home, it's average $4 per person. That's 325% more per meal per person. So if you got a family like Philip, that gets really big. If you got a big family, if you got lots of kids to feed, right, that just is exponentially more. Forbes magazine said that the average meal is actually $20.37 on delivery. It's 5 times more expensive than eating from home. And it said it was 3 times if you do a meal kit. You know, you get these like already made meals or these prepared frozen dinners or whatever. It was $12.5 per person. But from scratch, it was $4.31. And you know, making meals from scratch takes a lot of skill. I guarantee if all of us men were in a cooking class making from scratch, it'd be rough. It would be really, really rough. You got to take notice of how much skill and effort it takes for a woman to cook and praise her when she makes a good meal. Praise her when she's able to make a meal from scratch. That's a great skill, and it's going to help you, okay, skip a lot of bills. You got this woman. She doesn't have need of spoil because what? She's constantly looking for the deals. She's bringing in the good prices. She's finding goods that are cheap and good and durable and you want to eat. And then not only that, she's able to take those ingredients and present you with a great meal. She's furnished her table. And we notice in Proverbs chapter number 9, this is not even just only carnally, spiritually too. She's having people come in that are stupid and she wants to teach them wisdom. She's going to open her mouth with wisdom. She can't just cook a physical meal. She can cook a spiritual meal too. She's going to teach her children. She's going to instruct them in the Word of God. She's going to prepare those ingredients. She's going to take the Bible from scratch and prepare all kinds of sermons for that young man in her house, for those little boys, those little girls. Look, my wife's a great preacher. She's not going to be preaching behind this pulpit, but she preaches home every day to my children. And they need that instruction. They need that wisdom that's coming from her. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31. Let's look at my fourth point. My fourth point, Proverbs 31, look at verse number 17. The Bible reads, "She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." So we see that this woman is actually strong. You know, some people say that it's women should just be weak and should not be able to do anything, you know, physically. But the Proverbs 31 woman is actually strong, and it even specifically says her arms. Her arms are very strong. You hold a baby all day, every day, you're going to get some strong forearms. I hold the baby for an hour and my arm goes numb. It's like tired. I mean, look, these women that are, you know, holding the baby and cooking and doing all these things, they're going to get strong. They're going to have a lot of might, a lot of stamina, a lot of endurance. They're going to be able to get things done. They're not going to be weak and frail. The paper pusher at the workplace. Look, I guarantee a woman that's raised lots of children, is cooking and cleaning, she's going to be much stronger than the woman that's sitting at the workplace pushing paper around all day long. She's going to have a lot of strength. She's going to need that strength to be able to get through the day. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. Let's look at an example of a very strong woman. Judges chapter number 4 in our Bible. You know, and I think the strength, we can talk about it initially from a physical perspective, but there's also other ways that a woman needs to be strong and can be strong, mentally, emotionally. But the Bible in Judges chapter number 4 gives an example of a woman who's both very physically strong and extremely emotionally strong, extremely mentally strong. This woman is a personification of strength, in my opinion. Judges chapter 4, let's look at verse number 18 where the Bible reads, "And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her, into the tent she covered him with a mantle." Now, Sisera is a wicked guy, he's a wicked king, he's lost the battle, he's fleeing. And Jael is perceived to be his friend. So she kind of makes this little invitation for him to come in and to stay with her, to kind of harbor this guy that's being constantly sought out. And it says in verse 19, "And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him." So this guy comes in, "Can I just get some water?" She gives him some milk. Look at verse 20. "Again, he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Eber's wife, took a male of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened in the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples." So we see an example of a woman. And this is, look, I'm not recommending harboring, you know, murderers, okay? Harboring wicked people and you taking care of them. But you know, at the end of the day, especially in Texas, there's some women that if you come knocking at the door, a shotgun's going to be looking you in the face. And she's going to know what to do when that wicked guy comes around. And she's not afraid to smote off his temples. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty. Sometimes the mom's got to be the one to take care of the dirty work. And we see Jael, the wife of Eber, she's ready to take care of business. And you know what? She's wise. Oh, have some milk. Oh, I'll just take a soft little nap here. And then she pulls out the hammer and the nail. I mean, talk about a strong woman. To walk up to a man who's like a king of the battle. He's a captain. I mean, this guy is not just some weak guy. She walks up to him and she just takes care of business. She doesn't swing and miss. One time, dead. She goes for the kill shot, doesn't she? And look, my wife says she's shooting until it's not moving anymore. So there's no more bullets. But as we see this woman, that's a lot of emotional strength for a woman, isn't it? But you know what? She cares. She wants to take care of business. She wants to take care of her household. She wants to take care of that which is right. And she's not afraid. If the enemy comes at the end of the day, she's going to take care of business. And we see that's such great strength. Look at chapter 5, verse 24. We get more information. It says, "Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Eber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples." You know what? We need more wives. We need more mothers today to stand up and smote off the heads of Sisera. To say, you know what? I'm not going to take my child to the library and let some pedophile roll on the ground with him. I'd rather smote off his head with the nail spike. I'm ready to take him to task. And if he comes near my house, you know what? He's going to meet the shotgun. He's going to meet anything. You know what? We need some women with some strength today to stand up for their family and to say, you know what? I know my husband's the one in charge, but if he's not here, I got a tent spike. I got a hammer, and I know how to use it. I'm going to bring the hammer. That's what I'm going to call my shotgun. We see a woman knows how to take care of business, and we need her to be strong. And we see, do you think this woman, Jael, she had to call her husband while he was at work? There's a spider. There's a spider. You have to come home and take care of the spider. Look, that happens. There's a cockroach. I don't know what to do. What about Sisera? I mean, this guy's, you know, a serious murderer. She just gets the tent spike and the hammer, and she just takes care of business. You know, in the olden days, 1950s, it's not that old, 1960s, if your wife was harassing you at work, you'd get fired. You know, you need a strong woman beside you that's just going to take care of the things at home, can just take care of business, so that way the husband can take care of what he needs to at the workplace. And look, if we can look at this example, I think there's a lot less things going on at the household. You know, a lot less things you have to have emotional and physical strength for. Now look, obviously if you're pregnant, don't lift heavy things, okay? There's going to be a limit and a cap to what a woman should do. But we see here that this woman, Jael, she's ready to take care of business. She's ready to have strength. She doesn't need her husband to just come and hold her hand and take care of everything. Now look, if you're at home, take care of stuff, guys, all right? Let your wife come unto you and you be the knight in shining armor. But look, sometimes the knight in shining armor's got to go off and fight the dragon, and the wife, she's got to, you know, smote off the head of Sisera. She's got to just take care of business so he can focus on his job. You know, the Bible says that the wife is a helpmeet. It doesn't say that the husband is the wife's helpmeet. Meaning what? The wife is supposed to take care of everything at home so the husband can do other stuff. So the husband can go out and provide. He can take care of his family. This is how you actually help your husband. It's not a help when you have to constantly harass him and have him coming home and taking care of everything. And look, there's plenty of men that went out to the battle, but then their wife had to draw them back in because she didn't have the strength. And you know what? Then you're going to have to end up paying a lot of extra bills. You know, maybe here's another way that women could have strength. How about just when your kids are sick? You know, some women, they just decide that they don't want to be emotionally or physically or mentally strong. So as soon as their kid coughs, we're going to the doctor. And look, I'm not against you seeking medical help when needed. I mean, if you're bleeding, you know, go to the doctor, okay? I mean, if there's a serious medical injury, seek medical attention. But you know what? If you go to the doctor for every cough and sniffle, you're going to have to be paying a lot of extra bills that you didn't have to. You know, and the wise woman, she'll study, she'll know. And look, everybody wants their mom. Mom can take care of it. Mom's going to give me that chicken noodle soup. She's going to put me in bed. She knows the home remedies. She's wise and she's mentally strong. She's going to take care of me and my children. She knows what to do so I don't have to pay all these extra medical bills. You know, I don't have to worry about her getting so frustrated taking care of the children every day that now we have to use daycare. Well, I just can't handle it. You know, there's some women, I mind you, they stay at home and they still take their kids to daycare. They can't take it. They can't handle it. I don't want to pay that bill. If you're staying home, the kids are staying home with you. But you know what? Some women, they're just not mentally or emotionally strong enough to just take care of the work that needs to be done. We see Jael, the wife of Eber, she's got it under control. You know, what about tutors? You know, some women, they just get so nervous about homeschooling their children. And instead of just being mentally strong and realizing, you know, I'm going to put the effort and energy and to being wise myself so I can teach my children, they have to spend a bunch of extra money, a bunch of extra bills on having someone else educate them. You know what? I would rather have my wife educate my children than anybody. That's the one person I want. That's the one person I desire. I don't want to pay extra. And the woman that's going to be strong physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, she's going to be the one to take care of her household, take care of those children, not just when a physical enemy enters, but a spiritual enemy. The TV, the music, the public fool, bad friends. You know, as a strong woman, sometimes you have to look at your children in the face and say, never see that person again. Don't hang out with that friend. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals is what the Bible says. And as a wise woman, you need to look at all the enemies that are coming in, the perilous times that we live in today, and say, you know what? Don't hang out with that person. Don't be that person's friend. And that can be hard. That can be difficult. Because as a mother, you just want your kids to be happy, to have fun. But at the end of the day, you can look at a certain child and think, they're going to be a bad influence on my kid. You're not allowed to go over to their house. Their parents, you know, let them drink alcohol. Their parents let them watch who knows on the television. Their parents let them say all manner of evil communication. They don't even, you know, have anything to do with God. I'm not going to let them hang out with my children. Not going to happen. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. My fourth point is that a virtuous woman's going to be strong, and a woman that's strong is going to help you to skip many bills. And young men that are single, these are some good attributes to look for a woman. Have we talked about physical beauty yet? No. There's a lot of things that are way more important than physical beauty today. And even at the end of the chapter, we'll learn, you know, beauty is vain. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So look for a woman that's strong. You don't want to be in a relationship where you have to carry both loads. You want to be just the husband. You want to encourage your wife to have strength so you can focus on the task that you need to do. Look at verse chapter number 18. Chapter 31, verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. So what points have we looked at so far? Let's just recap quickly. The woman that's going to help skip a lot of bills, she doesn't need to spoil. She's looking for the dills. She's a good cook. She's very strong. And additionally, she's making good merchandise. She makes quality merchandise. Now, this is for a couple of different ways that we can look at this. First of all, she doesn't always have to go out and buy clothing. Sometimes she just makes it. She just makes high quality, good garments that her family can utilize. She's making things that the family can benefit from. She doesn't have to buy everything. She can also make stuff. And she makes good stuff, high quality stuff, better than you can buy. The husband shows up at the gate and they're like, "Where'd you get that? That's an awesome coat. My wife made it. Where'd you get this good? Where'd you get that belt? Where'd you get whatever these goods are? It's the wife made it. Where'd you get that lunch? My wife made it." You can't buy the lunch that a wife can make. I guarantee that. And men show up to work and they're eating McDonald's. Taco Bell, and your wife packs you something great. She makes good merchandise. Now, some people would maybe misunderstand this point, okay? Because she makes such high-quality merchandise. She has such good skill, whether that be making quilts, making home goods, making clothing, that people look at it and they want it. And you know what happens when there's demand for product? People want to buy it. So in fact, she makes such good merchandise, such good high-quality products, that people actually want to buy stuff from her, and she even sells it and makes extra money. Now, here's the thing. I made it very clear at the beginning, and I'll make it clear again. I believe that the husband is the sole provider. He pays every single bill. So this is just the wife spoil. This is just whatever's coming in extra. And I do not believe that a virtuous woman has to sell anything, has to make any money. But we see what the point that's being emphasized here is the quality of the goods. It's the fact that what she's making is so high quality, people would want to buy it. And in fact, I know women that are like this. Women that have been a successful housewife, they make such high quality goods in their household that other people are like, I can't even find this garment. How do you find a modest swim dress today? Can't find it. And a woman that's good at making it, they say, hey, can I buy one? Can you help me get one? I would like to buy your goods. Now look, if a woman is making swim dresses in her house, is she gonna get rich anytime soon? No. That's not even like a realistic small business. I mean, that's going to be pennies on the dollar. You're not making all this money. You're not looking out to try and start some company and make all this money. And look, the emphasis here is not a woman going out and having her own business and making a whole bunch of money. It's just the fact that her goods are such high quality, other people would buy it. And the fact that she gets a little extra income, that's great. But you know, some women would take this and say, cool, well, let's go, you know, join essential oils now. Let's join Cincy. Let's get in some multi-level marketing cult campaign. And look, most people that get into these things, I'm not saying everyone, most people that get into these things, the reason they get into it is for money. They get into it because they hear, oh, cool, I'll just get a bunch of people under me and they'll get a bunch of people under them. And then pretty soon I'll just get in all these checks and I'll have all these extra money and I can just get all this extra goods. I'll have all the purses and all the cars and all the whatever. I'll get a new house. Is that what this woman is doing? No. This woman is making high-quality merchandise. You know what MLM is? Selling crappy merchandise that's overrated. And it's usually frivolous junk. It's not stuff that people really want. It's just extra stuff that you have to spend your spoil on. Salad Master. I mean, they have pots and pans that are like $2,000 a piece. You know why people sell that? Because they love money. They're like, I don't even have to sell that much merchandise, and I'm rolling in it. And look, some of those people that got in early on Salad Master, I'll be honest, they were just raking it in, making all kinds of insane profits. But you know what? I don't care how much, you know, how great this stupid pan is. I'm not spending $2,000 on a pan. Oh, there's no metal going to be in that. Whatever. I'm sure if I scrape hard enough, lots of metal come off, just like every other pan. You got to constantly replace this junk. You know, the $3,000 vacuum. The vacuum salesman coming along. Look, every vacuum stops working after a little while. It gets dirty. It smells horrible. You turn it on, you're like, what is that? It's the vacuum. You're like, how's my house getting cleaner by this dirty contraption? You know, my wife would, we bought kind of a decent vacuum one time, like a $400 or $500 vacuum. But still, I mean, you have to constantly clean it and do all this maintenance and work on it. It still breaks down. You still got to get a new one. I'm sure as heck not going to spend $3,000 on a vacuum. And look, I believe it's okay for a woman to sell goods and to have her little business on the side. But you know what? When we see the Proverbs 31 woman doing it, let me make it clear. She's making merchandise. She's making stuff. She's not going into this to get rich quick. And you know what? These multi-level marketing campaigns, all they want you to do is to make money. The love of money. They're always talking about their payouts and the reward system and the love of money. And look, I'm not saying because you're in it, you're wicked or it's bad. Some people just really like a certain product and they just want it. And it's fun to use every once in a while. Okay, but you ought to realize you're messing with fire there. Because the goal of those is to get rich. The goal of those is to make lots of money. The goal of those, and a lot of people, they'll get kind of far in, and then it's really hard to get out. Let me help you out with a cult. It's really hard to get out. You know why this church is not a cult? It's really easy to get kicked out. Just be a drunk, you're out. Just come up to me and try to teach me the flat earth theory. See how long you stay. But, you know, these multi-level marketing things, you get strapped in, you got to pay all this money. And it's like, you got to give us like $500 to get in, and then you have to buy our merchandise, you know, every month at like $300. And you got to sell all this product, and there's all this pressure. And usually most everybody's just a sucker on the deal. There's not really that many people that actually make that much money on it. So you got to just realize and be careful and make sure that, you know, what you're doing is not something that's really for the love of money. I mean, if somebody just likes it good and wants to sell it, go for it. But the Proverbs 31 woman, she's making high-quality merchandise for her family. That is the goal. But then she realizes, you know what, I can make a couple extra and then just give them to other people or to sell them. And in fact, sometimes maybe she just gives them away. She's not even looking in to make an extra profit. She's just a virtuous, kind, loving woman. Let's get some examples of this. Go to Acts chapter 18. I don't want to just use one verse. I'm going to read for you some verses, though. Proverbs 28, verse 22, the Bible says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." The person that's looking to get rich quick has an evil eye. What's the evil eye? It's full of covetousness. It's looking for things that they don't own, things that they don't possess, and desiring them, and making bad decisions. Deciding to get into some cult to try and make extra money. You know, the evil eye is mentioned in Matthew chapter number 6. Let's keep your finger where I turned you, Acts chapter 18. Go to Matthew 6. I want you to look at that one. Matthew chapter number 6. It's important to understand what the evil eye is. Let's compare spiritual with spiritual here. Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse number 19. The Bible reads, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The Bible is saying if you have eyes that are evil, if you have eyes that are full of covetousness, you will not want to serve God. You want to serve money. You want to serve mammon. That's all your heart desires. And you don't want to let your heart just be full of covetousness. You know why? Because it's never satisfied. You will never have enough. You can never have a big enough closet, ladies, all right? You can never have enough shoes. You can never have enough purses. You can never have enough clothing. You can never have enough of these things. And if your eye is evil and that's all you're desiring, you know what you're going to miss out on is all the things that God had for you. And you know what? You're going to rack up a lot of extra bills in the process. You're not going to be skipping bills. You're going to be adding bills. The wise woman who's making merchandise, you're skipping the bill of whatever you had to buy. I don't have to buy that garment now. I don't have to buy that coat. I don't have to buy that dress. I don't have to buy that quilt. I don't have to buy all these things. The evil eye is constantly, sweet, now we got to buy a new purse. And now we got to buy a new clothes. And now we got to buy all these extra things. Now I got to buy all this product and material of junk that I don't want. I got to have all this Salad Master inventory on my hand that I'm not going to use. I have to have all this Mary Kay that I'm not going to use. And you know how people get out of their cult? They end up having $5,000 of this merchandise they couldn't sell, just stuck in their house, and they give it away on pennies on the dollar, and they just lose all kinds of money. And it's whatever point they realize that they get there. Because all these marketing campaigns is what they do. You buy all the material up front, and then you have to constantly sell it. But here's the problem. You can't get out. Because as soon as you sell all of it, then you got to buy more. And then you got to buy more. And it gets a bigger bill and a bigger bill and a bigger bill, and then eventually you got to eat wherever you stopped at. Hopefully you got out a lot sooner than when you first got in. You're not sitting there on $5,000 worth of merchandise. And then that fad goes and flies away. Mary Kay's not that popular anymore. Salad Master's not that popular anymore. You find out the guy at the top is just, you know, Bernie Sanders. You're like, oh, man, I can't sell this stuff. Look back at Acts chapter number 18. Let's look at the good example. There's a lot of other verses we could look at here. But I think the point's pretty clear from the Bible why you shouldn't get involved in this junk. But in Acts chapter 18, look at verse number 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. We see a very godly woman in the Bible, Priscilla. She's a tent maker. She's making high quality merchandise. Flip back to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Soul winning in Sacramento, I ran into this woman. She's like, the Bible's only written about men and men. Look, there's plenty of stories about women. There's plenty of great information about women in the Bible. And God gave us lots of instruction. Despise not prophesying. Acts chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now skip down to verse 39. So we see a woman named Tabitha, also called Dorcas. She's recognized as a very good woman, someone full of good works. And alms deeds means she's giving things to the poor. She's helping the poor. Look at verse 39. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So you see, they wanted Peter to come in because Dorcas was sick and had died, and they wanted him to raise her back from the dead. And she was a great woman. They loved her. The Bible says she did great alms deed. But notice, one of the things she's recognized for is what? Making coats. The quality of her merchandise was above everyone else's, wasn't she? She was a great woman, and she was able to make high-quality merchandise. So we see, you know what, women, I want to have my own business. Well, great, why don't you just make quality merchandise at home and make such great merchandise, people are like, you want her material. You want her goods. She's such a hard worker. She's so diligent. She's not like one of these, you know, Asian workers in China, you know, working their fingers to the bone, wanting to commit suicide. You know, the people that make our iPhones, it's like intense. Those people are constantly committing suicide. It's like harsh working conditions. There's no way all the goods that they're making over there are that great, okay? Especially when it comes to clothing and textiles. Your wife can make really high-quality textiles. And obviously in today's society, I mean, clothing can be very cheap, good durable clothing. You can buy it at thrift stores and other stuff. So I'm not saying you have to make clothing. Sometimes it can be cost inefficient to make it. But in any way that you can make a high-quality product, you know, the Bible emphasizes that would be a good skill to help Skip pay the bills. Go back to Proverbs. We have two more points I want to quickly cover this morning. Two more points. But we see the Bible has so much wisdom and has so much instruction for us. And women, while it's not their job to pay the bills, they have a lot of ability to help skip a lot of bills, to lower the bills, to make the bills more palatable so that he does not have need of spoil. And the most important quality we see in this woman, we notice in verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax. And notice this, and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse number 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted the vineyard. Look at verse 18. It says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This woman is hardworking. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know why this woman is such a great woman? She willingly worketh with her hands. She wants to work. She desires to work. You say, oh man, Pastor Shelley, I just really want to work hard. Well, this woman works super hard. I want to go out and get a job. Here's a great job. It takes infinite amount of skill, infinite amount of talent, infinite amount of hard work. I mean, this woman is incredible. You know, the world won't look at this woman and give her all kinds of accolades. They won't say how great she is. They won't tell her how wonderful she is. You know, Ruth, though, for sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn there, but go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Ruth, it's said of her that whenever she's talking to her mother-in-law, Naomi, she says, let me go into the field and work. Naomi doesn't ask Ruth to go. Ruth tells her, hey, I'm just going to go out and work. And in fact, According to the Bible, she worked diligently in that field all the way to the end of barley harvest. She's there day in, day out, working hard. She's willingly going out and doing work because she wants to provide. She wants to take care of. And you know what? You can't fix apathy today. The one thing that I can't give you, I can't give your wife, I can't give the husband, is hard work. That has to come somewhere inside where you decide, you know what? I want to work hard. I want to do that which is right. I want to be skilled. I want to be knowledgeable. I don't want to be this silly woman that just sits around all day and just looks on Facebook and looks on Instagram and looks on Pinterest and just wants to constantly have an evil eye and look at all the things I don't have. And the husband comes home, what'd you do today? Well, I just looked at all the stuff I wanted to buy. Well, I didn't see that woman here. This woman, you come home, there's food on the table. This woman, hey, look at all the things I made for you. Look at all the things I did for you. Look at all the things that happened. She's willingly working with her hands. She's willingly teaching her children. She's willingly doing alms deeds. She's willingly making merchandise. She's considering the works of her hands. She's diligent. You can't fix that. You know, I can't sit here and give you the desire to work hard. You know, but God's word can motivate you. Deciding that your job's important. Deciding that you have value. Understanding how you can help your husband. You can be a helpmeet on your husband so he doesn't have need of spoil. Look at Luke chapter number 15. This is a very interesting story. Look at verse number 8 where the Bible reads. Give me 1 second. Verse number 8, when thou art bidden, I'm sorry. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now, this is a very interesting story because it's a parable. It's emphasizing, you know, soul winning. Someone that's diligent to go out and to seek the lost and to get people saved. That's a primary application. The carnal application, though, is the fact that a woman having lost money, she should be diligent in finding it. She should not just care that, oh, I lost a little bit of money. Who cares? I don't need to look for it. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to mend that. And as I was reading this, you know, it's interesting because he's saying, what woman would not do this? But I was thinking in America today, I was like, every woman would, you know. A lot of women, you know, just kind of, I don't need that, be lazy, apathetic, not take care of her house. And then it clicked. And I said, how could a parable be written to a people and they say, every woman would just care so much about money? Oh, yeah, it was written to the Jews. Say, was that written to the Jews? Yeah, it was. They're like, of course. What woman wouldn't be diligently seeking for that lost money, that lost coin? But we can still learn a valuable truth here that a diligent woman, she's going to try and find that money. She's going to get that money, and she's going to make sure she's diligent with everything that was entrusted in her. She's not going to just let it go by the wayside, throw away money. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And a hardworking woman is going to help you skip a lot of bills, a lot of bills from the house being destroyed. You know, a lot of bills of the house not being cleaned. You know, you go to people's houses today, and it's just gross. You don't want to go in there. It smells foul. It's hard to even be inside the room. There's mold. There's things growing. I mean, there's whole shows, TV shows dedicated to this. I mean, the people that just, you know, live in their house and they're like hoarders. Have you seen Hoarders? It's funny. There was a hoarder show in my town, and it happened to be like a few houses down from one of my family members. So they had come, and this woman, she had just not been cleaning for so long. Like, the toilet had been broken for months, but it was still being used. There was a cat trapped in the commode, like behind the commode. So whenever they remove it, the cat finally be able to run. And it takes like a big sprint, and it just falls over and dies. I mean, there's literally animal feces everywhere. Everything is trash. People are living in this. It's disgusting. You know what they have to do? Rip everything out, throw it all away, use harsh chemicals. Some cases, they just have to knock it down, you know, get rid of it. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, it tells us this important truth. Look at verse number 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. You know, if you don't take care of your house, it's going to get gross. It's going to decay. It's going to wax old. It's going to get bad. You know, if you build a brand new house today, 50 years from now, it's not going to be great. Houses that were built in the 70s and never touched, nobody's like, sweet. You got to replace stuff. You got to fix things. Things are broken down. And if you're not constantly taking care of it, you're not constantly cleaning it, you're not constantly maintaining it. In fact, let me give you a tip. If you buy a house that has not been lived in for a while, beware, there's going to be a lot of problems. You want to be in a house that has been recently lived in, been maintained, been taken care of. You don't know what kind of problems are hiding for you when someone's just been abandoning a property, not been living there. And the Bible is true here. It's saying, look, through idleness, you can destroy your goods. And you can have all these extra bills for the housemaid and the house cleaner and the maintenance to come and have to do all these things in your house. Or you could have a wife that just takes care of the house and you don't have to have all these extra bills. Go, if you would, back to Proverbs 31. We're almost finished. My last point. So we looked at a lot of points, okay? Skills to skip the bills. No need of spoil. A woman who's looking for the dills. A woman who can cook. A woman who's strong. A woman who maketh merchandise. A woman who's hardworking. And most importantly here, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So we see the most important qualities that you fear God. And you say, why? Because what I'm teaching here today, the world does not like. Feminism would argue with me on every point here. Feminism hates the Bible. Feminism hates godly roles. The world today does not like the woman to be at home. It doesn't like the woman to be strong. It doesn't like the woman to love the Word of God. It doesn't like the woman to serve her husband. It doesn't like the woman to cook meals. It's just completely forsaking all of that. Completely going the way of Cain. Going the way of Balaam, going the way of the false prophet. Go back to chapter 13 quickly. Let's look at two more places. Chapter 13. The Bible said that this woman, her price is far above rubies. A woman that fears God, her price, invaluable. Why? Because whenever she hears what the Bible says, she wants to do it. When she reads these verses, she doesn't think, I don't like that. She thinks, wow, I should do better. I could improve here. I could do something more. I could get, you know, I could go to another level. Hey, there's an area in here that I could work on because she fears God, not me. Look, it doesn't matter what my opinion is at the end of the day. The only thing that matters is this book. That's why we're constantly looking at lots of scripture, looking at lots of clear scripture this morning. Proverbs 13, verse 15, the Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. If you marry a woman that does not fear God, your life is going to be hard, very hard, and a lot of extra bills. What kind of bills? How about drugs? You don't think men marry women that get into drugs and they have to pay all kinds of extra bills for those drugs? The alcohol, the cigarettes, the whoredoms, the divorce. You know, divorce on average costs $15,000 per person. And you know, afterwards it doesn't get better because now you have to pay double rent, double bills, double everything. You know, it's a lot more economical to have one house, one set of bills, have one household that you're cooking for, one house you're cleaning for. Divorce, God hates. Go to Titus chapter 2, last place I'll have you turn. Titus chapter 2 this morning. Say, I want you to get up and scream about the faggots. That's what I like. You know, hard preaching doesn't always have to be screaming. It doesn't always have to be yelling. Hard preaching is biblical. Hard preaching is specific, and most importantly, hard preaching is corrective. Most of you are not a faggot in here, I hope. I hope no one. If you are, and I know it, you're kicked out immediately. I mean, we're going to pick you up and throw you out with that guy. You know, oh, he's gone, I think. The ex-Baptist pastor, or whatever. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, look at the Bible. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When a woman that fears God reads that, you know what she thinks? I need to do everything on that list. Because I don't want the word of God to be blasphemed today. But a woman that doesn't fear God, she's just going to go out and she's going to find out that the way of transgressors is hard today. You know, all these instructions that God gave you are good for you. They're going to help you. They're going to be beneficial to you. You're going to look back on your life and you're going to think, why didn't I just do that in the first place? Why didn't I just obey my husband the first time? Why wasn't I just staying at home the first time? Why wasn't I just being sober the first time? And you need to, you know what? The aged women in this room, they need to instruct the younger women and encourage them to do the things of the Lord and tell them, you know what, young lady, you need to get it right. I can't fix my past. I can't fix these things, but you need to do what the Bible says. Let me tell you how hard it is to be a transgressor. Let me tell you the way of transgressors, all the problems, all the sins. And, you know, the woman that fears God, she's going to do everything on this list, and she's going to do everything in her might to help skip some bills. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for some clear instruction this morning. I pray that people would not be offended by your word, but rather we would be fearful of your word. We'd be fearful of sin in our lives and the transgressions. We know that sin has consequences, and we want to be diligent to make sure that we're following all thy commandments. I thank you for this great example that you have in Proverbs 31. I thank you for the example that your son sent for us. I pray that we constantly look to your example, not the world's, for how we live our lives.